Today's daf is daf Tesvav in Maseches Moed Katan. My name is Tzvi Hirsch Warnreb, and this is one of the rare occasions when I am substituting for Rabbi Moshe Elephant, who gives a daf regularly, and for Rabbi Yosef Grossman, who fills in for him many times. Both of them cannot do the daf today, and they asked me to fill in for them, and so I will do my best. We will begin at the very top of Daf Tesvav Amud Aleph. The Gemara has been discussing questions relating to three categories of people: to Avelim, to mourners, to people who are sitting Shiva for a close relative, to Menudin, to people who have been placed into a certain type of excommunication called Nidui, which we will learn about actually later in this very perek, and to Mitzoyroin, to people who suffer from the disease or from the nega, the affliction of Tzora'as. And the Gemara has already resolved the question and said that with relationship to an ovel, to a person who is in mourning, tisporis, taking a haircut, is forbidden. However, asks the Gemara, the top of Tesvav Amud Aleph, Menudin u'mitzoyroin mahein betisporis. What about the other two categories of people, the Menudim and the Mitzoyroin? Can they take haircuts or not? Are they Mutor or Osur in Tisporis? Toshma, so the Gemara quotes a Braisa. The Braisa reads, Menudin u'Mitzoyroin Asurin l'saper u'lechabes. It says explicitly that these two categories of people are prohibited both to take haircuts, l'saper, and l'chabes, to wash their clothing. Clearly, it's no question about it, they are also in tisporis. There's your answer. But the Braisa continues to tell us a very interesting halacha. Menuda shemes, suppose a menuda, a person who is excommunicated and placed into the category of excommunication called nidui, who dies, and he dies, as Rashi points out, betoch niduyo, he's in the middle of his period of nidui. For example, they excommunicated him for 30 days, he's in the middle of these 30 days, and he dies. Based in soklin es arono, the based in the court stones his coffin. It would seem that the Tanakama holds, stones it, mamish, throw stones on it until there's a heap of stones there. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Lo she'yamidu olav gal avonim kegalo shel ochon. It doesn't mean that they place there a large heap of stones as they heaped stones upon the body of Ochon. Ochon was the traitor who lived in the time of Yehoshua, who received benefit from the booty of the war, which was prohibited, and they stoned him, and they indeed placed there, as Rashi points out, the Pasuk in Yehoshua, Vayokimu Olov Gal Avonim Godol, they put upon his body a large, a high heap of stones, not to a regular menuda, we wouldn't do that, but rather, says Rabbi Yehuda, Elo based in Sholchin Umeinichin Even Gedolo Alarono. They place a large stone upon his coffin, symbolically, L'lamedcha, to teach you, Shekol Hamisnade Umeis Beniduyo. A person who is placed into this type of excommunication called Nidui and dies during the period of his Nidui, based in Soklin Es Arono, Bezdin indeed stones his coffin. Now the Rishonim dispute here whether Rabbi Yehuda is disagreeing with the Tanakhama. Tanakhama says you mamish stone the coffin. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says no, the symbolic Even Gedolo Alarono. Some Rishonim say that Rabbi Yehuda is simply explaining the Tanakhama, that not to mean stoning in the literal sense of the word, but rather placing this symbolic stone upon his coffin. There is another halacha, which, as we'll see, applies to Avelus, and the Gemara will raise the question, does it apply to Niduyin, Menudin, and Mitzoroin as well? And that is the procedure of Atifas Horosh. Atifas Horosh means taking the beged, the one's clothing, imagine one's talis, and putting it over one's head, down to one's, just below one's nostrils, where the mustache is, and wrapping one's head that way as a sign of despair, the sign of grief. So the Gemara tells us, Ovel chayev ba'atifas harosh. And Ovel is obligated to do this procedure of atifas harosh, of wrapping the head. How do we know this? Because in the Novi Yecheskel, Perek Chof Dalet, the Ribbono Shel Olam tells Yecheskel in a certain instance that he is to act in a paradoxical manner. In some ways, act like a mourner, in other ways, not like a mourner. And God tells Yecheskel, Hey onek dom mesim, ochel lo sa'aseh, mesim, eivel lo sa'aseh, piercho chavosho lecho, uno olecho tosim berak lecho, velo sa'ateh al sofom, velechem anoshim lo socheil. The pasuk says, be quiet, do not mourn, wear your pe'er, your glory, put shoes upon your feet, don't wrap your head, and lechem anoshim lo socheil, which we'll see what that means. So we see from here that Yecheskel is being told lo sa'atel sofom, not to wrap his head, indicating that other mourners in normal circumstances would wrap their heads. As the Gemara says, midikom alei rachmono liyecheskel, since God told Yecheskel, v'lo sa'atel sofom, don't wrap your head over your skull down to your sofom, means your lips, just above your lips, what we call the mustache area, michlal de kulei almo michayvi. We see from here that others, not like Yecheskel, when they are in mourning, are obligated in the procedure of atifas horosh. That's an ovel. Now the Gemara asks, what about our second category, menuda, a person who is in a period of nidui, placed there by the Beis Din, mahu ba'atifas harosh, is he also required to wear his head covered in this manner? Omer Rav Yosef toshma, Rav Yosef comes and tries to bring a raya, and he brings a raya from a brisa with which we are familiar from Meseches Tainus. Meseches Tainus, we are told that after 13 fast days went by and still no rain, the hein misatvin, so the people would wear their talis over their heads in this manner, they would wrap their heads, v'yoshvin, and they would sit, kimenudin uchoavelim, they would sit there like as if they were excommunicated and in mourning, ad shirachmu aleihem min hashamayim, until God will have mercy upon them. So it seems from here that here these people are like menudin, who placed them into excommunication, not man, but rather God himself. And we see that what they have to do is wrap themselves, etc. So you see that a menuda also has to wrap his head in this manner. Omalei Abaya. Abaya says, how can you compare the two? Dilme menuda la shamayim shani. Perhaps here it's different. Here they're not placed into nidoy by a bezdin. They're placed into dini de nidoy by God himself. Dechomer, this is certainly much more powerful, much more strict. And therefore, they must even wrap their heads in this manner. But if the nidoy is placed upon them by a fellow human being, no matter even a bezdin, no, maybe they're not obligated in atifas horosh. Here, and as we'll see going further in the Gemara, Abaya assumes that nidoi menuda l'shamayim, being placed into a nidoi kaveyochol by God himself, is much worse than being placed into a nidoi by a bosor vodom, by an ordinary human being. Mitzora mahu batifas harosh. Now the Gemara asks, what about a mitzora? We have no answer about menuda, according to Abaya, but what about the Metzora? Does he have to wrap his head in this way? Toshma, so the Gemara says, here we have a Beferish posuk. The posuk reads, V'hatzorua asher bo hanega, the tzorua, the person who's afflicted with this disease, begodov yihi yuferumim, his clothing must be rent, must be torn, ferosho yihi yeferua, and his head has to just be wild, growing wild. We'll see more precisely what that means soon. V'al sofom yateh v'tomei tomei yikro, and al sofom yateh, he should wrap his head in this manner down to his sofa. Michlal shechayev ba'atifas harosh, we see here specifically, explicitly in the posuk, shmamina, no question about it, a mitzora is required to do atifas harosh. Next, din. Ovel osu lohoniach tfilin. And also an ovel, a mourner, is prohibited to wear tefillin. How do we see this? Since God told Yecheskel in the pasuk which I quoted before in Yecheskel Perikov Dalit, Pe'ercho chavosho lecho, Yecheskel, you wear your pe'er, Michlal tekula alma also. We see from here that others, or tekula alma asiri, it should read in the plural, and therefore others, Avelim, are prohibited to wear their pe'er, the first day of Avelos, one is prohibited to wear the pe'er, the glory, which is the tefillin. Menuda mahu b'tefillin, what about a menuda? Can he wear tefillin? Teku. Of this we have no answer. Mitzora mahu b'tefillin, what about a mitzora? Does he wear tefillin? Toshma. The posuk says, it's the posuk which I quoted before, v'hatzorua, mean and the tzorua, meaning l'rabos kohen gadol. A kohen gadol who's afflicted with tzoras, same halacha. Begodov yihiyu ferumim, meaning sheyihiyu mikoroim, mikuroim, his clothing has to be torn to tatters. Verosho yihiyeh forua, and his head has to grow wild or has to be exposed. Af periya, ein periya elo gidul seor divrei Rabbi Eliezer. As it says, that periya means growth of the hair. His hair, he should let his hair grow wildly, long. That's a sign of the tzoras, of the tzorua. Rabbi Akiva, however, objects. So many people learn the pshat. Omer, he says, Nemro havaya barosh. The posuk says, Verosho yihyeh forua, with the verb havaya, to be. V'nemro havaya babeget, and the posuk says, same posuk, Begodov yihyu forumim, stressing the verb yihyu, havaya. Ma havaya ho amuro babeget dovo shechutz megufo. Just as when it says havaya, by a beged, begodov yihyu, it's referring to something which is outside of his body, external to his body, namely his clothing. Af havaya barosh, so too, when we speak of the havaya barosh, verosho yihyeh forua, it means dovo shechutz migufo. It does not mean his hair, which is part of his body, but rather it means, my love, at tefillin, it must mean his tefillin, which are not part of his body. And here too, rosho yihyeh forua means his head should be bare without tefillin. Rav Papa says his head should be bare, all right, but that doesn't mean he shouldn't put on tefillin. Lo, akumso v'sudra, it's referring to his turban, his hat, the beged they would wear on their heads. A mitzora should not wear that hat. In that way, it means rosho yihyeh perua, his head should be exposed, bare of a head covering, but not bare of tefillin. Before we go on to the next question, She'elas Shalom, about an ovel and a menuda and a mitzora, I want to just mention something, a vort, about the din that an ovel is prohibited to wear a tefillin. There are many reasons given for this. Rashi in Meseches Brochas says that an ovel is rolling in the ash. He's rolling in the afer. He's in great distress. So if he's rolling in the afer and the ash in distress, you can't have him wearing pe'er. Afer, pe'er, same letters. If you're in afer, if you're down in the dumps, you can't be wearing the pe'er. However, there's another Rashi in Meseches Sukkah who says that the ovel is simply not roi to wear tefillin, not because he's in mourning, but because he is showing by wearing the pe'er that he's besimcha. Tefillin is a wonderful mitzvah, and he's doing this wonderful mitzvah, he's somehow diminishing in his avelus. The Achronim say that the machlokes between the two Rashis depends upon, is it a din in tefillin, that tefillin requires a person who is not rolling in the afer, and an avel is rolling in the afer, so if he's an afer, no pe'er, that's a din in tefillin? Or is it a din in avelus? An ovel should not show himself, should not demonstrate himself to be happy enough to be wearing this pe'er, the glorious tefillin. There's a Sefer Oel Avrohom, which quotes Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zeche Tzadik Levrocha, as saying an interesting thing, a difference between these two reasons. If the reason an Oel doesn't wear tefillin is because it's not proper for the tefillin, he's a man of Efer, and therefore it's a disgrace for the tefillin to him to wear it, then there's no halacha by tefillin of halacha kadivrei hamekel. In general, when there's a problem in the matter of Avelos, we have a rule. We always follow the lenient view. But here, not wearing tefillin is not a din in Avelos, according to one side of the story, but rather it's a din in tefillin. By tefillin, there's no such thing as halacha kedivrei hamekel. However, if it is a din in Avelos, meaning it's not proper for an Avel to wear tefillin because of wearing tefillin is a sign of simcha, and he shouldn't be besimcha, so it's a din in Avelos, then we would have the rule of halacha kedivrei hamekel, that it would be wise to be lenient as possible in this regard. And obviously, these Gemaros are full of implications, halacha lemaase, and we're not here to study today halacha lemaase, so let's continue in the Gemara with the next din, the din of she'elas shalom, of giving a warm, welcoming greeting to an ovel, or vice versa, having an ovel giving a greeting to another. So the Gemara says, ovel osur b'she'elas shalom. An ovel is forbidden to engage in this process called she'elas shalom, inquiring after the welfare of another. Because God said to Yecheskel, in the same posuk we learned earlier, Heyonek dom, be quiet. Be quiet means refrain from she'ilas shalom. In this regard, he is to be like an avel. Tosfos emphasizes the paradoxical nature of this. In one respect, in several respects, he is to be different from a avel. He is to wear tefillin. All right, he's not to do atifas harosh, but in some respects, he is to be an avel. He is to be quiet in the sense of not doing she'ilas shalom, and as we will see, he is to be quiet in the sense of not engaging in Talmud Torah. But what about a menuda, a person who is in this type of excommunication called nidui? Mahu b'she'ilas shalom, is he allowed to greet and welcome others? Amar Rav Yosef Toshma, we learned again in Meseches Tainus that the people whose fasts were spurned by God, so to speak, and here they are in such desolation, they are prohibited. Ubishi'ilas shalom shebein odom lechaveiro kibnei odom hanezufin lamokom. They have been rebuked by God. They must refrain from she'ilas shalom. Again, Abaya raises the objection. Omle Abaya dilme menuda l'shemayim shani dechomer. Perhaps they who have been spurned by God. So that's really strict, that's really strong, so they have to refrain from she'elas shalom. But a menuda who has merely been spurned by mere man, by Bezdin, perhaps he does not have to refrain from she'elas shalom. Mitzora mahu b'she'elas shalom. What about a mitzora? Is he obligated to refrain from she'elas shalom? Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says, v'al sofom ya'ate. So here, the Gemara translates it not just to mean v'al sofom ya'ateh, their head should be covered down over their head until their lips, but rather something about the lips. She'yuhu sifsosov miduboko zobasu. Their lips should be stuck together. Their lips should be closed, sealed tight. She'yehei kemenude ucha ovel. They should be like a menude and ovel and refrain from welcoming statements from she'ilas shalom. Okay, the Gemara continues. So we see beferish here that a mitzora is also in she'ilas shalom. But nifshot minoli menuda. Earlier we had a question about a menuda, and Abaya had his reservations about the raya. Well, here it says beferish she'yu sifsosov meduboko zubazu she'heke menuda ucha ovel. So you see, a menuda should have his lips closed too, without she'ilas shalom. Omar avach bar Pinchos mishmei Rav Yosef mikotoni she'osur. It doesn't say they should be like a menuda who is osur in shila shalom, but rather she hey kimenuda uchovel kotoni b'mile yachanaisa. In many matters, the mitzora should be like the menuda and like the ovel. V'yosonami b'shila shalom. Unlike the menuda who may not be osur in shila shalom, he the mitzora is osur in shila shalom. Ovel also b'divrei Torah. An ovel is forbidden to study Torah. How do we know that? Since the Torah, that God said to Yecheskel and Ovi, Dom, be quiet. Be like a mourner in several respects. Be like a mourner in refraining from She'ila Shalom, and be like a mourner in refraining from Divrei Torah. Wow, that's really something. What about a menudah mahu b'divrei Torah? Is a menudah permitted to study Torah? Om Rav Yosef Toshma. Menudah, when it comes to a person who is in the level of excommunication called nidui, which is, as we will learn in a blot or two, a lower, a lesser level of excommunication, shona, he can study Torah, vishonin lo, others can study Torah with him, niskar, he can rent himself out as a worker, viniskorim lo, others can become his workers, that's a menudah. Muhram, person who's in cherem, that's a stricter level of excommunication. Lo shone, v'lo shonen lo, he can't study Torah, as we will see. He can't study Torah in depth. V'lo shonen lo, and we don't study with him Torah. V'lo niskar, he can't hire himself out to be a worker. V'lo niskar and lo, neither can others become his workers. Aval shone hu liatzmo, but he can study quietly to himself a little bit. We have the girsa shelo yafsik es talmudo, so he shouldn't interrupt his study. But I want to tell you that the Dikduke Sofrim, which is a collection of older manuscripts and early editions of the Talmud, which has sometimes a more accurate reading than we have in our page, reads here shelo yafsid es talmudo. He should not lose his Torah study. Either way, you get the idea. What's the guy to do? He's going to starve. He has to have some parnosa so he can make himself a little store somewhere. V'omar Rav, and Rav said, it can't just be a little store. It's got to be zvone maya bipakso di arvus. He's got to be selling water, Rashi here says, in a certain marketplace. And Rashi doesn't here clearly tell you what the story is there. However, I want to tell you, maybe others have pointed this out to you earlier in Meseches Moed Katan, and that is that not always is the Rashi here the accurate Rashi. In Meseches Moed Katan, it does not seem to be fully and accurately and totally Rashi himself writing. However, in the Rashi which we have on the Ein Yaakov, or in the Rashi which we have on the Rif, we have often, very often, expansions of the Rashi on our page. And that would seem to be the more accurate Rashi. And the Rashi on the Rif says that this Paksko di Arvus is a Biko shel oso mokom, a large open valley in this place called Arvus, the Ein Shom Mayim, where there is no water. As the Gemara Meseches Chulin Perek Kol Abosor said, this is a place without much water. So to sell water in a place which doesn't have too much water, this is a kind of a temporary and necessary business. This he can do. Shmamina. Mitzora mahu b'divrei Torah. Can a mitzora study Torah? Toshma, we learned the following braisa. V'hidatom livonecho, the posik says, we are to teach the Torah to your children, v'livnei vonecho, and to your children's children, yom asher omadato livnei Hashem elokecho b'chorev. And the Torah study should be, the Gemara is darshening now, like the day that you stood in front of Hashem, your God, on Har Sinai in Chorev. What's the comparison? I'm teaching Torah today to my sons, my grandsons, great-grandchildren of Yitzhak Hashem. What does that have to do with Har Sinai? Malahalon ve'emo ve'yiro ve'reses uve'zeya. Just like the Torah was given with fear and with awe and with trembling and with sweat, it was a powerful experience. Mikan Omru, from here we say, Hazovin v'hametzoroin u'bo'alei nidos. If a person is a zav or a metzora, all right, these are things which happen to a person. He could be in the most serious mood. These things happen. Ubo alei nidos. the Ritva says, or a person who accidentally had relations with his wife while she was in Nida. So, again, he was engaged in normal intercourse with his wife. This is appropriate. Mutorin likros betoro b'nevi'im u'biksuvim. So he is permitted to study Torah and Neviim Uksuvim, and we have the gears of a lishnos b'medrish u'v'shas b'halochos u'v'agodos to study also medrish and shas and halocha and agoda. And here too, by the way, the Dikduke Sofrim had a little different girsa and has the girsa of Lishnos v'mishne uv'medrash uv'talmud b'halachos uv'yagodos, but he can study Torah. However, u'bal kebalikeri in asurin, but a person who's a balkeri, who emitted semen in a dream, accidentally, in an attitude of levity, of perhaps even obscenity, asurin, he is forbidden to study Torah. Shmamina, we see from here, a Metzora can study Torah. He didn't do anything to put him in a mood that's not consistent with Torah study. However, a Balkeri obviously is in a mood, as Rashi says, Shebolohem Machmas Simcha V'Kalus Rosh. He's engaged in levity and lightheartedness. V'Leka Emo, he isn't appropriately serious to study Torah. But a Metzora can study Torah. That's the answer to the question. Ovel, a person who is in Ovel in mourning, osur b'techboses, he's prohibited to wash his clothing. Dichsiv, as the posuk says, vayishlach Yoav Tekoa, Yoav sent a messenger to the place called Tekoa, vayikach mishom isho chachomo, and he took from there a wise woman, vayomer eleho, and he said to her, hisablino, pretend that you're in mourning, velivshino bigdei avel, and please put on the clothing which are appropriate to a person in avelos. All right, there's a missing Rashi here, which we have in the Rashi al-Horif, we don't have on the page, who says, at this point, Alma also betichboses. She was putting on specially soiled clothing, which are called bigdei avel. You see from here that an ovel does not wear clean, laundered clothing. V'yalto suchi shemen, don't anoint yourself with oil. V'hoyis ki isho ze yomim rabim misabeles al meis. Pretend, act as if you're a woman who for some time now has been in mourning. So we see that a mourner does not wash his clothing. Minudinu mitzoroin mahein betichposes. What about those other categories? Can they launder their clothes? Toshma minudinu mitzoroin asurin l'saperu l'chapes. That they are also to wash their clothing as well as take haircuts. Shema mino. Ovel chayev bekriya. An ovel must tear his clothing. Dekom aluhu rachmono livnei aharon. That God said to them, the Aaron, in the pasuk which we know from the Chumash, Vayomer Moshe el Aharon ulelozo liyisama bonov roshechem al tifro'u uvigdechem lo sifromu. You people are not in response to the death of your sons and brothers, Nodav v'Haviyu. You are not to tear your clothing. Vigdechem lo sifromu. Michlal, dekula alma mechayvi. Everyone else who's an avelus who loses a child, or a sibling, or a spouse, or a parent, must tear his clothes. Menuda mahu b'kriya, take it. We don't know whether a menuda is also obligated to tear his clothes. Mitzoro mahu b'kriya, toshma, pasuk says explicitly, begodov yihiyu ferumim, his clothing should be rent, should be torn. She yihiyu mikuroin shmamino. Ovel chayev b'chviyas hamita. Now there is a procedure called kviyas hamita. Bending over the bed. This was appropriate in a different time when beds were very different from our beds. And if you turned the bed upside down, it was really not very comfortable. That's Kfiyas Hamita. Again, Rashi here on our page does not define Kfiyas Hamita, but Rashi on the Rif does. And he says, Shekofe mitoso milamalo lemata. They turned the bed literally upside down. Vahofcho. And this procedure of kfiyas hamita was something an ovel would do, should do. Nowadays, we don't do that. For various reasons which are given, including that our whole beds are different from the way they were. The Tony Bar Kapora, Bar Kapora said, Demus Diukni Nosati Bochem, it should read. I gave you people, you human beings, my image, my godly image. Uva Avonoseichem, but because of your sins, Hafachtiha, I had to turn away from your, from the Tzelem Elokim. You turned away from being like me. Therefore, kefu mitoseichem aleihem, kefu yehofchu mitoseichem. May your beds be turned over as I had to be turned over. You brought death upon yourselves by through your sin. Now, that in that death, you have to show that in some way there's a diminished Tzelem Elokim. As far as the other two categories, teku, we do not know. We will know mitz Hashem tishbi yitareitz kushos va'aboyos. Eliyahu Hanavi will tell us the answer to whether menuda mitzora are obligated in kviyas hamita. There are those who say, and the achronim, that nowadays the widespread custom of covering the mirrors in one's home, this is the substitute for kviyas hamita. We no longer turn our beds upside down, but we do cover our mirrors, and this is the contemporary substitute for kviyas hamita. And there are very reasons given for why we cover our mirrors, some Kabbalistic reasons, some because Rabbi Yosef brings a reason because you daven in a beis avel and you can't daven in front of a mirror. Various other reasons given. The Gemara continues, Ovel also ba'asiyas malocha. An ovel is prohibited to go to work. Tichsiv, as the posuk says, it's a posuk in Amos, in the Novi Amos. V'hofachti chageichem le'evel, I will turn your holidays into mourning. So there's a comparison here between mourning and holidays. Machag also b'mlocha, just as a holiday is prohibited to work, af ovel also b'mlocha. So too, a person in mourning during the Shiva is prohibited from work. Menuda mahu ba'asiyas malocha, what about a menuda in work? Omer Rav Yosef Toshma. Again, we're back to Maseches Tainos, as Rashi reminds us. The Chachamim said, if various days go by and people fasted and weren't answered, then, Kishe Omru Osur Basias Melocha Lo Omru Alo Beyom. They said, you can't work during the day. Avol Belaila Mutor, but by night you can work. V'chein Ata Motze B'menudo Bovel. And so too you find by a mourner and by a menuda. My lavakulu, that probably means that everything that refers to one refers to the other. All the practices that refer to menuda and ovel refer to these people who are fasting as well. And therefore you see that a menuda is also basiyas melocha. Gemara answers, no, my lavakulu, lo, ashara. Other things, not everything, only certain things, perhaps atifa sarosh, perhaps kviya samita, perhaps this, perhaps that, but not necessarily asiyas melocha. Toshma, menuda shone vishonen lo, niskar v'niskorin lo. We see beferush, a menuda can be hired out to go to work. Do you see he can work? Shmami, no, we've proved the point. A menuda can go to work. Mitzoro mahobasi yas melocha teku. As far as a mitzora, we do not know. We have to wait for Leo to find out whether a mitzora may or may not work. Ovel also bechitza. An ovel is prohibited to bathe, dichsiv, because the posuk says, again, this is the posuk in Yoav. When Yoav told that woman from Tekoa not to bathe, he said to her, Al tosuchi shemen, do not anoint yourself, do not smear yourself with oil. Urechitze bechlal sicha. Bathing is part of the process of sicha. Sicha is prohibited for an ovel, so is urechitze, bathing. Menuda mahu brachitza. What about a menuda? Rav Yosef Toshma, again, with the people who were fasting. Kishe omru also brachitza lo omru lo kol gufo. It is only bathing the entire body, which is also for these people fasting. Avol ponov yodov raglav muta, but just to bathe one's head, face, hands and feet is permissible. V'chein ha-tomotze b'mnudah v'ovel. So too, by mnudah v'ovel, my lava kulu. Probably all the dinim that refer to one refer to the other. And here you have it. A mnudah is osur b'chitza. Lo, ashara. A mnudah is like one of these people, one of these fasters in other ways, not necessarily in the prohibition of b'chitza. Mitzora maho b'chitza teku. For mitzora, we do not know whether or not b'chitza is permitted for him. Ovel osur b'ni'ila sasandal. An ovel is prohibited to wear shoes, midika omale rachmonali Yecheskel, since God told Yecheskel in that pasuk which I quoted earlier. In Yecheskel Chov Dalet, God said to him, Uno olecho tosim biraglecho, put your shoes upon your feet, meaning you should not act like a mourner in this regard. Michlal de kule alma also. So we see from here that others are not permitted to wear shoes. Menudah mahu benilas sandal. What about a menudah? Omer Rav Yosef Toshma kishaomru also benilas sandal. When they said that those people who fasted and their fasts were not accepted by God, lo omru elo beir. It's only in the city, in town, they can't wear shoes. Avol baderech on the road they can. Mutor hoketzad yetzel yotzel aderech Noel. When he goes out to the road, wear his shoes. Nichnas leir, he comes back to town, choletz, he removes his shoes. V'chein atomotze b'menudah of ovel. And so too, with the menudah of ovel, seemingly indicating, my love, akulu, that nilas sandal is also a act which a menudah should refrain from. Lo ashara, perhaps not. Perhaps it refrains from other things, kviyas hamita, rechitza, ativa sarosh, not necessarily to nilas sandal. Mitzora maho benila sasandal teku. Mitzora, we do not know. Ovel osu betashmish amita. An ovel is prohibited from having sexual intercourse with his wife. Tichsiv, the posuk says with reference to David. Vayinachem David es Bathsheba. David comforted Bathsheba ishto. Vayovo eleho, and he had relations with her. Vayishkavi mo, vateled bein, vatikro eshimo shlomo, vashem aevo. So David first was Menachem Bathsheba, and then he had relations with her. Michlal, before she was comforted, when she was still in Avelos, Michlal de Meikora, also it's prohibited for a married couple to have Tashmish Amita when they are, one or the other, as in Avelos. Menudah mahu betashmish amita. What about a menudah? Rav Yosef, same kind of attempt. Toshma kolos on shonim shehoyu Yisrael b'midbar menudim hoyu. When the Jewish people were in the desert, they were menudin. To whom? To God. God spurned them. V'shimshu mitoseyim, and yet they lived a normal married life. So you see that even when you are menudah, it's permitted. Omalei Abaye. So Abaye said, "V'dil menudah l'shamayim shani dekil." Maybe it's different. If you're being spurned by heaven, nope, God is forgiving. He spurned you, will forgive you. You can have tashmish amita. But if you're spurned by a human being, by a bezin, oh, that's really terrible. Then you have to refrain from tashmish amita. So now Abaye is turning the tables on us, and he's saying that perhaps menudah l'shamayim is kill is more lenient than menudah la bos of adam. So the Gemara asked the question, kill, how can you, Abaye, say that it is lesser to be menudah l'shamayim than to be menudah l'bnei Adam? V'ho amrit chomer, until now on the Amud Aleph, twice you said that menudah l'shamayim is more strict. The Gemara answers, Sfuke Mesafkli. Abaye was wondering, what's worse, to be spurned by God, to be spurned by man? To be excommunicated by God, to be excommunicated by man? So when he had the ability to disprove a raya, disprove a din, from looking at it one way, he looked at it that way. Vezilhocha, he had an opportunity to disprove another raya by looking at it a different way. Perhaps it's this, perhaps it's that, you have no proof. Mitzora mahu betashmish amita. What about a mitzora? Can he have relations with his wife? So here the Gemara brings what is almost a posuk, which is mefurosh. The posuk says, v'yoshav michutz lo'ohel lo shivas yomim. He should stay outside of his tent for 7 days. Meaning, shiyehei kimenude ucha ovel v'yosav betashmish amita. He should be prohibited in tashmish amita. Stay out of his tent, meaning Ein ohalo ela ishto. His tent is an allusion to his wife. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, lechem olohem shuvu lochem loho lechem. Go back to your tents after Matan Torah. Go back to your tents, meaning go back to your normal marital relations. Shmamino, that a mitzora cannot have tashmish amito. V'nifshot nami limenude. Why don't we bring proof here? It says, Sheheke Menude. So we see a Menude is also wasa betash mishamita. Amarafunda breder apinchas mishmeder av Yosef. Mikotoni she also Sheheke Menude chovel. Bemiliach reise. It means, in other respects, he should be like a Menude. Not necessarily with regard in tash mishamita. Perhaps a Menude is not prohibited in tash mishamita. But the Mitzora, the also Nami, B'Tashmish Amita, over and above the Menuda, he is also in Tashmish Amita. Ovel Eino Mishaleach Korbanoso. Persons in Avelus cannot send his Korban to the Beis HaMikdash, Jistanya. Rav Shimon Omer Shlomim Bizman Shehu Sholem, V'lo Bizman Shehu Onan. We have in this week's Parsha, we're reading Parshas. Actually, I'm dictating this on Thursday, but you will hear this on Sunday. And on Sunday, you will already have read Parshas Vayikra, which introduces us to the concept of Korban Shlomim, and the meaning of the word Shlomim, Rashi and the Chumash gives other reasons. But the Gemara here says it is called Shlomim because it must be given by a person who is whole, not by a person who is in grief, not in a person who is in onon. So an Ovel cannot send his Karbonosov into the Beis HaMikdash. Menuda Maush Yishlach Karbonosov. How about a Menuda Rav Yosef Toshma? Kolos on Shonim Shehoyu Yisrael Bamidbar Menudin Hoyu Visholchu Karbonosayim. All the years the Jews were in the desert, they were Menudin. They were excommunicated by God, spurned by God, and yet they sent Karbonos in. Perhaps Menuda to heaven is different, more lenient. Kiel v'ho amrit chomer, you just got through saying on Amin Aleph that Menudah l'shamayim is worse than Menudah l'abrios. Sefuke misafkele, Abaye wasn't sure. What's worse? U'matchele, and he pushed aside this way, pushed aside this way. He could use both ways of looking at things and therefore eliminate the proof that a Menudah is permitted to send in his korbanos to the Beis HaMikdash. Finally, and with this we'll conclude, Mitzora Mahoshi Yishlach Korbanos of Kana Mitzora sent his korbanos in Toshma. The Pasuk says, the son you learned in a Braisa, this Braisa is quoting a Pasuk in Yecheskel, which reads, V'acharei Tohoroso Shivas Yomim Yispirulo. And the Gemara Darshins, V'acharei tohoroso, acharei perishoso min hameis, shivas yomim yispirulo, elu zayin yimei sefiro. So we're talking about two types of tumah, the tumah that comes from meis, the tumah that comes to a mitzora. And the pasuk continues in a different section, the next pasuk in Yecheskel, ubiyom bo al hakodesh el hechotzer hapnimis l'shores bakodesh yakriv chatoso ni'um Hashem Elokim. All right, Yagriv Chatoso, Zo Asira Soefo Shelo, Divir Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Shimon Omer, Bevoo Yagriv is Mashiror Labir, or Lakrova is Mashiror Labir, Einor Lakrova. We can go into the details on this. Whoever says the Daf Tesayan can go into the details, but the main thing is we see that the Mitzora cannot send his Korbanos until he himself is appropriately prepared and purified to be able to go and bring his Korban. But if he is not in that state yet, he cannot send his Korbanos in. Similarly, an Ovel cannot send his Korbanos in, and the Menuda is an unresolved question. Okay, thank you for listening, and I want to thank Rabbi Elephant, Rabbi Grossman for giving me the opportunity to substitute for them, if rarely, but nevertheless, the opportunity was appreciated by me, and I hope that we explained the Gemara in a satisfactory manner, and I'll wish you today a good Shabbos when you hear this, a Shavua Tov.